So thank you. The first thing that I noticed was looking through the bulletin and I seen an overflow area. Man, that is nice to see a church that needs an overflow. I wish all the churches were like that. So my name is Jeremy Creech. My wife, Lucky, is on the back row. It won't take you long to meet her and realize who the lucky one is in the bunch. Her name's Leslie. My daughter, Natalie, and Wyatt went back to Children's Church. And then I also have a 10-year-old son that is on the way to the beach with a buddy today. So how did I end up here? God only knows. So I got called into the ministry about a year ago, so I'm still a rookie, so y'all be patient with me. And I got called to youth pastor over at Mount Beulah. That has been my first paid position as in ministry. And other than just loving the Lord, I'm no Bible scholar, and I am enrolled at Covington Theological Seminary, and I'm about finished with my first class. So y'all be praying for me on that journey in my life, and who knows where God's going to take me. Me and my family have accepted the call to be obedient wherever God leads. So if y'all will just be patient with me this morning, I have and do teach the youth. So, you know, I'm a little more visual and a little more, I'm a visual learner. So I can read text a lot, but so things may be a little bit different, but I heard a good illustration one time. How many of you only remember Coke in a glass bottle? A glass bottle. Hands. That's a good many hands. And then they brought out the Coke in a can. Remember the can? It just didn't taste the same, did it? But eventually, the glass bottle faded away and the Coke is just as good as ever. And now we've got plastic bottles, which everybody remembers. Now, the recipe is never changed, but the way it's presented to us has. And that's what I tell the church a lot with youth ministry. While I may present a little different, this right here never changes. Amen. So I will do, or go hopefully do something a little bit different this morning. I do need a few volunteers. I actually need five, preferably men to fit the scripture. I need two soldiers. And then I would like my soldiers to pick out three other men. So I have anybody willing to be a soldier? I got one. All right, that's good. Thank you. I need one more. I promise you don't have to say anything. So I'm Jeremy, by the way. Daniel. One more soldier. One more. Come on, just volunteer. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Now. I'm going to play the part of King Nebuchadnezzar. Y'all will be my soldiers today. And we're looking for Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat. So if y'all can find one of those, three of those guys for me, and we'll just have a seat right here on the front row. So I don't know how many of you watch or ever seen, and I cannot recommend it from the pulpit, but Medea. She tells a story of Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat, and it's pretty good. So, all right. So y'all can, if y'all can just have a seat right now. I got my three soldiers on the end, Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat in the middle. So you'll be Shadrach. I'm Jeremy.
Grant, nice to meet you.
Right, and Meshach and Abednego, okay? And these are two soldiers, so y'all don't let them escape. All right, so we got that much down. All right, so we're going to be in Daniel chapter 3. Most of you have probably heard the story or read the scripture. My wife told me not to look at the notes, but I'm going to pull them up just in case. So, and we're going to start in chapter 3, verse 13. And I've titled this sermon, Stand Courageously. And so keep that in mind, and you will hear it consistently through the message of Stand Courageously. But starting in verse 13, and we're going to go to verse 16, I think, to start with. It said, then Nebuchadnezzar, which that's what I'm going to play today, in a furious rage commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the burning furnace. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands? So, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I have built this golden altar, which they say, the best that I can figure out, it's about 90 foot high and 9 foot wide. So pretty big, right? And I'm going to ask you to worship it when you hear the music play, okay? Now, what do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did? Did they worship it? No. All right, we're going to put them to the test. Y'all stick to Scripture, okay? So, I can't play. Y'all not going to worship? I'm playing a Christian song, too, and asking you to worship an idol. So, so they don't worship. They go before the king and say, hey, I don't care if you are my king. I'm not going to worship your idol. I only have one true God. They are standing courageously for their faith. And how many times is our faith put to the test and we don't stand up courageously as we should? Now, do you think we have idols today? Yeah. Do we have a 90-foot tall and a 9-foot wide golden statue? No. But we definitely have idols. And some of those idols, I'm going to mention, I also want to mention a song. I don't know, Jimmy Needham is an artist, and he's fairly well known, but he's got this song called Clear the Stage. So what is an idol? So we need to define idols. And I think he does it very well in this song. He says, anything I put before my God is an idol. We could almost have a sermon just on that one sentence. Anything I want with all my heart is an idol. Anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. Anything that I give all my love is an idol. So, wow. The things that we have put before us today that could fall in any of those categories. So some of the ones that I mentioned, and this by far is not all of them, but a physical idol. Anything that you spend time with and are not willing to give up to serve the Lord. So, you know, idols don't have to be bad. There's a lot of good things that become an idol. An idol could be a sport. I think there's ball tournaments today, and they probably have overflow areas too, because they don't have any problem. And not saying that sports are bad. I like for my kids to play. But when we put things before our relationship with Christ, then it becomes an idol. For instance, my kid played rec baseball at the Major League Baseball there in Barmel. I mean, the Dixie Youth Baseball in Barmel. And they had, you know, you have your team meeting for practice. And I told the coach then, I said, we go to church on Wednesday night. He will not attend any practice that you have on Wednesday night. If that's going to be an issue, we need to know it up front. I don't want you to hold him responsible or make him punish him from what I'm making him do. And you know what? We didn't have practice the whole year. So if more parents will stand courageously for what we believe in, amen, things will change. Pride. Now, this is a big one, and this is why I think I was 37 before I really accepted the call to ministry. Pride. I like to be in control. I like to have my destination planned out. I have pride in what I do. And, you know, sometimes that can be an idol. Entertainment. If you're in entertainment that's not God-honoring, you need to stop it today.
Amen.
So there's not a whole lot to say about it. It's just if it isn't a God-honoring entertainment, you need to stop it today. Hatred and bitterness. Now, sometimes this can get in the way of a church. Hatred and bitterness. It's something that we can kind of keep to ourselves and not everybody knows, but it really harms your relationship with Christ. It can become an idol. And we don't need to let that happen. We need to be aware of it. And just like most Baptists probably have, how many of you have ever thought, I wish Joe was here today. That was a good message for him. Yeah, have you done that? I wish Mr. Smith was here. He really should have heard that message. Well, today's message on staying courageously is for me and it's for you. It's for the person that you looked at this morning brushing your teeth. That's who the message is for this morning. So hatred and bitterness, fear and worry. This is another one that you don't think, but it can hinder your relationship with God. Well, if I go and serve Him over here, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to eat? How am I going to do these things? What's going to happen when we go to Honduras? Am I going to come back sick? You know, those are the things where you just have to step out on faith and give God a chance to show up.
Amen.
And this world can be an idol. You know what this world wants us to do, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else. They want us to drive a 2018 that's just coming off the lot that we can't hardly pay for. They want us to dress in the nicest of clothes. They want us to have the nicest of the nice things. And then when we get called to go to Honduras on a mission trip, we can't pay the $500, $1,000, or whatever it costs to go because we're mortgaged up to our eyeballs. So this world can become an idol. It can hinder us from doing what God wants us to do. So there are a lot of idols. So let's see what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do when they are faced with worship an idol or get thrown into a fire. So we're going to pick back up at verse 16 and we're going to go through 18. So verse 16. So I got my Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve will deliver us from the burning furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Wow. So now that was easy for them to sit here and repeat after me, but you got to think about how society was in the day. This is the king who was ruler over everything they did, where they stayed, the food that they got, their family, their community, and they just told me, I'm not going to do it. So how many of us would stand courageous? How many of you would stand up for your faith when it would put your job on the line? Would you stand courageously for your faith in Christ? You can't miss the conviction and the courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had no idea what God was going to do, yet live or die, they stand courageously for their faith. So they know that before this service is over, I'm going to throw them in the fiery furnace. Now, all you have to do is walk outside. So they know their destination today, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not know what was going to happen or even if God would deliver them. They are right now, y'all have just denied what I asked you to do as king, and you do not know your future. It's hard for us to imagine that sitting here today, but that's what's going on. Stand courageously on God's command instead of man's expectation. So what God commands us to do is the Great Commission. Go and tell others and baptize. And we need to stand firm on what we believe and not on what man believes. Nebuchadnezzar, just like they did. And a good question to ask also is, can your faith handle the fire? Are you at a spot spiritually where your faith could handle the fire? Can you handle not knowing where your next income's coming from, or where God's going to take you, or a prayer not being answered, or whatever your spiritual battle will be? Are you ready for a fire? Because we have to be prepared. Could your faith handle the trial of personal loss, money, health, or someone you love? Can your faith handle the trial of betrayal? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were people just like you and me. They were young men, pretty well represented here this morning, with hopes and dreams for the future. They wanted to live. They did not want to die, but they were faced with a difficult choice. Bow down to an image or be burned alive. What would you do? I would love to stand here and say that I'm going to be willing to burn for my faith. But it's hard. It would be hard to make that call. And I'm trying to quote a news story where ISIS attacked a bus of Christians, and I think there was a total of 13 killed. But they stepped off the bus one by one. ISIS asked the guy, "Do you believe in God?" "Yes." Bam. He's dead, shot in the head. Next one, step off. "Do you believe in God?" "Yes." Bam, he shot in the head. 13 times. Now, the first person is hard. But that 13th guy, he knew what his destination was going to be with his answer. Would your faith be strong enough to say, "Yes, I believe in God. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower," even if death was your destination? Now, I don't know about you, but I try to rationalize things out. Anybody in here like to rationalize stuff out? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, if I'm sitting in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's spot, I'm going to try to rationalize these things out. See if some of these hit home with you. I will bow down, but I won't actually worship the idol. You know, I can go through the act, but nobody really knows if I worship. You ever heard that whole saying, you hang around with dogwood fleas, you end up getting fleas? I try to tell my youth, I say, you know, if you're at a party and everybody's drinking out of solo cup and you got a water, you look just as guilty in pictures and if other observers as everybody else. Don't go there. Don't go there. Rationalize. I will worship this one time and then ask God for forgiveness. This is a foreign land. God will excuse me for following the customs of the land. You know, I'm two states away. Nobody knows me here. You know, I can do it this one time and then I'll ask for forgiveness. Everyone else is doing it. Why shouldn't I? And last, if I get myself killed and the pagans take my position, they won't help people in exile. So if I can't do this job, there'll be nobody else to fill in, so I can't stand up for my faith. You know, we try as humans to rationalize ourselves, and what we end up doing is we actually rationalize God right out of the situation. We don't always give Him a chance. When people challenge our beliefs, we should stand courageously. And like I said, sometimes that's as little as standing up for being at church on Wednesday night with your youth Dixie Youth Baseball, and sometimes that's as big as stepping off a bus and saying, hey, I believe in God, and lose your life. But whatever your situation is, we need to stand courageously. Whether it's at work, at church, at home, in the community, we need to stand up for what we believe in. All right, so instead of rationalize, let's look at some of the facts. The fact is that I told King Nebuchadnezzar, told them to bow down. The fact is they disobeyed me. I was angry. Probably didn't act that out very well, but King Nebuchadnezzar was angry. The furnace was very hot. The king threatened to throw them into the furnace. Anyone thrown into the furnace would die. So it sounds like they're pretty much dead, right? But as we all know, they didn't. That's also a fact as well. Truth is that God delivered them. Truth is, even if God didn't deliver them, they would go to heaven. Truth is, it is always better to obey. If they had bowed down, they would live with regret. How many of you have walked away from what God was leading you to do and you had regret? We probably all can raise our hands in here. Man, I should have prayed with that person right then and right there. Oh man, I should have told them this scripture. I should have invited them to church. I should have presented the gospel. I should have. Stand courageous and do it. Amen. Take action. Believe in God. Believe God. Don't just believe in Him. You know, even pagans and every other denomination believe God or believe Jesus. They just don't believe in Him. You know, that's a big difference in believe God and believe in God. Be committed. The young man said, but if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up for us. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not going to do it. We're not going to worship what you set before us. A true commitment to God must be present before we are challenged. So you need to get grounded in your spiritual walk before you're challenged. We always want to go to God when we're in a challenge. So when something's going on, when things are hard, when that's when we want to fall back and start praying and start getting right and start reading and those things. Be ready for that. Know what the Word of God teaches and decide what you will do if you're put to the test. So go ahead and sit down with your family and go through these scenarios. Go through what if they tell us we're going to have practice on Wednesday or Sundays. What if we're going to have a game? What if I get asked to work overtime on Sundays? What if this? Go ahead and sit down and make your stance before you're ever posed with those questions. So you and your family are on the same page and you can stand courageous for your faith. Be courageous. Stand firm in your faith. The Lord promises He will never forsake you. Stand courageously. All three men expressed their confidence in God. They didn't know what God would do, but they knew He was more powerful than anything the king could throw at them. In order to stand courageous each day, we must place our faith and our confidence in Him, not only in the furnace, but out of the furnace. So don't wait, like I said, for those trials to come. Put your faith in God in and out of the fire. All right, so we're going to pick back up in 19, verse 19, and we're going to go to 28. All right, so we got a little bit of action here, fellas. Let's go get real now, okay? Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I used to like you, and now I don't, because you won't worship the idol that I built. So I am angry. That's about the best I can do with that. All right. All right, soldiers, I need the furnace heated 7 times hotter than we normally heat it. So y'all go turn the knob on that furnace, that thermostat, turn it down to about 60. All right. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So y'all, my mighty men, let's bind these guys up. So if y'all will stand up, and y'all can go stand over there, make sure they don't get away. Yes, y'all got them? Yes, okay. Sir. All right. Then these men were bound in their cloaks and their tunics, their hats and their garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. So just throw them in that door there. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace was overheated, the flame killed my soldiers. I see your acting ability. I mean, that's a weak. That is a weak death right there. That's a weak death. And then these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. And he declared his counselors, y'all are my counselors, okay? Everybody in here. Did we not just cast 3 bound men into the fire?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see 4 unbound men walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. The appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods.
Amen.
Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning furnace. He didn't die. I don't know how that happened. He declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. That ain't a break, fellas. Y'all come on. How many of you ever been around a fire? Yeah. You can ride by one going down the road, and what do you smell like? If your air conditioner's on or your window's down. Did they smell like fire to you?
No.
Me either. I mean, normally, if you've been around a... y'all can sit down. Normally, if you've been around a good hot fire, the aroma would permeate this room over a course of time. They don't even smell like fire. I don't know where I was at. But let's see where... Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps and the prefects and the governors and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not any power over the body of these men. So did y'all just see that? It hadn't. Okay. The hair on their head was not singed. Don't look singed. I keep losing my spot. I'm sorry. The cloaks were not harmed. And no smell of fire, there we go, had come upon them. That's a miracle from God right there if you don't smell like fire. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and delivered his servants, who trust in him and set aside the king's command and yield up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own. I'll give these guys a hand for volunteering. I appreciate y'all. So can you imagine, really, I mean, think about this. We just threw these guys into a hot, burning fire. And you try to imagine things and put things in place. The only thing I can think of is like a burning house. Now, back in when I was a teenager, I used to be a volunteer firefighter until a ceiling fell on my head, and I said, I've had enough of that. So, but it's hot. It's hot. Firemen have gear that is rated for, X amount of temperatures. I couldn't imagine being in a burning furnace at all. But then these guys come out today, and the scripture pretty much tells you that the same way they walked in the furnace, even though we didn't have a hot furnace, they walked back out looking just like this. Just like this. Now this is not, you know, a lot of times I think we tend to look at this as a history book, and it is. It's got a lot of history in it, but they call it the living word. Because, just because this happened many years ago, the same God is the same God we serve today. So we don't, yes, it is history, but it's living. Have you ever read a verse today or a year ago, and it means something totally different to you today because your life circumstances has changed? This word is a living word, and it will speak to you differently depending on what's happening in your life right now. So we just seen a miracle from God. A couple more points. Oh, all right, I'll hurry. I love that God didn't merely protect His servants from the effect of fire. He was in the fire with them. So God just didn't bring them out looking like this. They seen four men in there. He was in the fire with them. God is in my fire, and He's in your fire. Whatever your fire is, God's with you. Nebuchadnezzar asked, what God would be able to rescue from my hands? And now he saw firsthand. Not only did he see, but I had all of you, governors, counselors, all of his to-bes, just seen the king's reign get shot down. You know, they listened to everything that the king said and did everything that the king wanted them to do. And now we had three men that stood courageously for their faith. And now my throne just got an axe, basically. So he seen it with his own eyes, and all of you seen it. Same thing happened then. So do you think all of you would have been bowing down to the idol that these three wouldn't? Do you think you would want to find out what these three guys had? Yeah. So a lot of times when we stand up for our faith, you don't know what God's got planned and who it's going to affect and what seed it's going to plant. Okay. I promise I'm almost done. So whatever comes out of your circumstance, I want you to stand courageous as these three men did. Are you willing and ready to stand courageous today for God? And I like to say this a lot. If we come here and we don't make any change to our life, you've just wasted an hour of your life. All right, when you come to church, if it's not for a week or a day, you should be challenged and you should try to put something, application to your life. Amen. Other than that, you've come and listened to me talk. And if you go home and you don't take anything with you, what good have we accomplished? So the goal of church is for me to challenge you or to teach you or to encourage you to take the next step in your spiritual walk. And that's going to look different for all of us. You know, some of us may be new believers and some of us may be grounded, but we can all go to the next level. So as we close this, there's a few people, there's probably, I don't know, two or three types of people in this room. One, you're not a believer. And for that, this altar is open to you. So what we'll do at response time at the altar call is when they start singing, is you come down and you talk to me or whoever. I'll be up here. And I will show you scripture on how to know the God that saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And He'll save you today. All right? The next person that is in this room is somebody that's a believer, but they're still drinking out of a baby bottle. And, you know, sometimes it's time to put on the training pants at least. Amen. And let's get started. So if that's you today, that's okay. We all start off drinking a bottle. Some days I feel like I'm still drinking the bottle. All right? But as you see your children grow, we should be growing as well. If you've been on a bottle for 5 years, it's about time to get potty trained, folks. And step up. Take the next step, whatever that looks like for you. And, you know, the last person may be, you know, you are in a fire. You're in a fire right now, and you just need to give it to God. This altar, and probably most of them in all the churches you go to, are underutilized and unused probably more than anything. People are scared for what somebody else is going to think about them, or what are we going to do. But I'm telling you, God is right here today, and He can handle your fire, and He can help you and walk through it. So let me close us in prayer, and be thinking about those things during the time of response. Dear Lord, I come to you this morning, and I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for each and everyone here. I thank you for a church that has an overflow area, Lord. They're doing something right. I thank you for each and everyone here. I ask that you speak to the hearts and minds of those here today. And Lord, that we all take the next step in our journey, in our spiritual journey, and our standing strong for you. And Lord, that we stand courageous no matter what the outcome's gonna be. It's in your name we pray. Amen.